John chapter 10, please. John chapter 10. I tell you, after a good introduction like that, I'm a bit anxious to hear what I have to say. My wife sends her greetings. We have one son, Daniel, and he's at the university. He's a chemistry major, and I don't know if it's hard on him, but it's hard on Dad and Mom, and so they send their greetings. Thank you for letting us come. We are honored to speak to you today and come to the great state of Georgia. And during Civil War days, my people lived in Atlanta, and General Sherman burned his farm and his house and his barn. Had 108 acres in Decatur County, right downtown Atlanta. Well, I'd like to have that 108 acres today. Yes. And so we brought some things for you to look at in our display. God is a good God. And God is interested in people. And you know, often I try to figure it out, and I've not been able to do it. But why would God want to use us? I mean, why didn't He solicit some angels? I'm sure they better sing. The choir's beautiful. Don't you think a group of angels could do a better job than we could do? Or better preach better? But God, He likes to share things. He shares His sunlight, and He shares the air, but He also shares opportunities. And so He allows us, you and I, to work for Him. And not only to work for Him, does it not say that we are laborers together with God? Yeah. The stories that we tell this morning and are our stories. They are not, I don't mean my wife and I, but they are the stories of Baptist people. And for the most part, people from the American South who give money and so that we can go and witness to people all over the world. People ask me, did you make a mistake by being a missionary? My wife and I, by profession, are school teachers. We hold master's degrees in education. And above that, we say in South Carolina, we don't earn our PhDs, but we earn master's plus 30. And so they say, did you make a mistake? You lost your retirement and everything. But you know, they don't get to see the people that we have seen. And they don't get to live the stories that we have lived. And those stories are not just my stories. They're your stories. And the missionaries that we see today, and we'll live those stories forever. Wouldn't it be wonderful when we get to heaven that God allows us to hear in their language? Perhaps He'll open our ears and we'll get to hear in their language how it was when the gospel first came to them. Many is the time that I have been to places where not only was I the first white person, but I was the very first gospel preacher they'd ever heard. A friend of mine is just telling me that he was preaching up in a place called Kokori, in the mountain region of New Guinea where it forms into the swamp down along the Iyanjaya border. And he said an elderly lady came to him after that particular service and she said, I heard that man's name and his story when I was a little girl. And she's talking about the Lord Jesus. She said, I didn't understand, but it's been all these years. And I'm so glad to hear it again. And I want Him to be my Savior. Amen. Yeah. In John chapter 10, familiar scriptures to us, and we'll, because Pastor, it's already 11:35. And I'm going to move this just a little bit. Because one time I was in a church service and I moved and it broke off. I didn't get support in that church. Yeah. As a matter of fact, all of us were glad when the service was over. In John chapter 10, you know the Lord Jesus, in just a short time, He's going to be kissed by Judas. He's going to be betrayed and He's going to die. And He's going to come back again from the dead. But all this is just right before He gets to the garden there where Judas comes. And He's having the supper, the upper room supper. And He's saying to these guys, look with me in John chapter 10, line 16. We'll just read one verse. And by the way, this is the favorite Bible verse of David Livingstone. And you heard the story this morning of Robert Moffat, who was the father-in-law of David Livingstone. Robert Moffat preaching in a church in Scotland, a cold stone church, rainy night. and most nights in Scotland are rainy and cold. And so someone was allowed or asked to play the, not play it, but what you do, pump it, pump the organ. And no one could be found, but they asked Robert, just a little boy, he said, well, I don't really. I mean, they asked David Livingston, and he said, I'm not really interested. But, you know, pressure, and he did that, and he heard Robert Moffat speak. And Robert Moffat said, in the early morning hours, when the smoke of those villages, and I see the smoke from those island villages go up, and he's talking about Africa, said, I've seen the smoke from 1,000 villages, fires in 1,000 villages, where never, ever a gospel witness has been. And how could it be that you and I, who grew up in the American South, have not done more than what we've done? I was 18 years old when I first saw a missionary. The church I went to, we didn't know about missions. We come down to the church altar and we prayed for Lottie Moon. You know, I was in the army, and I found out that she'd been dead 100 years. We didn't know it. The pastor didn't know it. All of us went down to the altar. We certain Sunday during the year, Mission Sunday, we prayed for Annie, for Lottie Moon in at offering. And that, if you ever read the biography, they were wonderful Christians. She died. She starved herself to death so that the Chinese might have food. But you and I, we need to do more. We know the truth. We know what to do. And we need to do more. These verses are famous by these men. He said, and that led David Livingston in that way. One verse here, and we'll read it, and then you help me this morning, please. In verse 16, the Lord Jesus says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Can you imagine those disciples saying, other sheep? Who's he talking about? Paul wasn't saved. Our peoples, the Gentiles, had not come and started coming into Christ. Large numbers. See, Jesus said, I have other sheep. There are other sheep. And when I read that this morning, I think of people yet who can be saved if you and I will do something about it. There are others. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Can you hear that touching voice? And they shall hear my voice. They shall hear it. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. My wife and I have had the privilege of being my wife Deborah and our son Daniel. Our son Daniel is 18. And he's a freshman at Bob Jones University, and he's studying chemistry, majoring in biology. And I told him, I said, son, I want to do the Lord's will. And I said, well, if you have a good undergraduate degree, then, you know, you can, later on, you'll be old enough, and God can work in your heart, and He can help you, and you just get a good degree, and then we'll just see what happens from there. So that's what he's doing. Please do remember us in your prayers. This word, other, I'm going to take that word other. Now help me count. How many letters in the word other? O-T-H-E. Is that five? That's what I'm going to have, 5 points this morning. Sorry if you see my fingers. I was picking up walnuts and pecans yesterday, and I'm stained, and I'm so ashamed to show my hands. Other. And let's take that word other and form some thoughts that will help me and help you to understand in a greater way not just our responsibility, but the privilege we have of giving the gospel to other people. It's a wonderful opportunity. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Well, the first letter is the letter O, obviously. And I'm going to say that the letter O in the word other stands for others. All kinds of people make up our world. Big ones and short ones and tall ones and fat ones and educated ones and good-looking ones and ugly ones and mean ones and all kind of people. And many of them have strange ideas. You know, in the Tonga Islands, the larger the woman, the more beautiful she is. And there's some beautiful women out there. When the Queen of Tonga was married, she was 6'5" and weighed 280. Sound like the Dallas, like a defensive tackle for the Dallas Cowboys. And I don't know what it is, but as we get older, we add don't we? So when you find one of these fine women over, you can run up and get a hug and a kiss on one side, and you got to run around and get on the other side and get another kiss. Strange ideas. Here in our part of the world, you pull the plug and the water turns a certain way. But down in that part of the world, it turns the opposite way. All kinds of people make up our world. But God is interested in every person. Yellow ones and brown ones and white ones and black ones and all kinds. All kinds. And as a matter of fact, there's not anybody anywhere that the eye of God does not notice. God is interested in people. Every kind of people. Some of them are good, and some of them are not good. But God is interested in people. I was at the Athens, not here, but Athens, Greece airport, and I was trying to get to my hotel room, and I was trying to ask the girl in English, hotel, bus number, hotel. And I was having a difficult time. And this lady, or this man, a complete stranger, comes up to me. I've never seen him in my life. He listens to conversations. One thing about foreign people, they'll enjoy conversation. If you and your wife are having a little conversation, 10 or 12 people come and try to listen. They don't have private bathrooms there. I mean, it's the most nosy place you can imagine. This man's listening to my conversation. I'm trying to turn him away and talk to this girl. He says, you're an American. I said, yeah. And he wants to shake hands with me. He said, oh, you Americans, you're great. You saved us from the Second World War. You helped us. You looked after us. You kept us. We love you. The Greek people love Americans. And he wanted to hug me. And I said, well, okay. And then pretty soon, this guy's kissing me. I don't know how you feel, but I don't like it when strange men kiss me. He helped me get to the right bus. It's just like last night. That's been, what, 35 years ago. And I remember as that bus took off, nice, clean bus, and I sat down. When I sat down, I waved at him through those big windows. And when I sat down, I realized he had my wallet. He did. He stole it when he did all that kissing. He's a dirtbag. I'm still angry about it. But God's interested in him. Has anybody ever done you wrong? I'm sure. And I'd like to give him five if I could. I'd give it to him. But God is interested. And I often wondered, did I have a gospel tract in my wallet? I often thought about that. One day, if he's not saved, then I'll be a witness at his trial, the great white throne judgment. And you and I go to those places and see those things. People are different, all kinds of people. You and I in America, we like 90-degree angles and a few, maybe, what is that, a little bit more than 90. All kind of angles. But you know the majority of houses in the world are round? You and I like to sleep on a bed, a good soft one. But most of my life, I've slept on the floor somewhere. You and I enjoy things that are American styles, but just they didn't make it right. The people in New Guinea say to me, why is it that you sleep up in the air? Is there some spirit that helps you? Why are you afraid to sleep on the floor? And usually in our home, this is years ago in New Guinea, we had a bed and we had chicken wire across the top of it and mosquito nettings. And the mosquito nettings kept, of course, the mosquitoes and that chicken wire kept those big snakes from dropping on us. You don't want that to happen at night. Your wife will beat you to death trying to get out of bed. Oh, yeah. All kinds of people. And I've never met anybody, nor have you, that God was not interested in. Yeah. And God is using us to contact them. Here in Georgia and America and all over the world. All kinds of people. Their color is different. Their size is different. Their food is different. Their language is different. The word eat, E-A-T, is the word, and this is in one of the languages of New Guinea. In New Guinea, they speak 800 languages. In the Solomon, some 350 languages. In the New Hebrides, 50 languages. And there's probably 15 Bibles in all of those languages. I rarely meet a person who's ever read the Word of God in his language. Their language is different. The word eat, E-A-T, is the word kaikai, K-A-I-K-A-I. The word crocodile, dim-dim, and there are lots of sea crocs in that part of the world, saltwater crocs. And the word croc is the word puk-puk. So if you go to the swamp, be careful, the crocodiles will eat you. You and I talk with our fingers. Go down here to Wilson Street, turn left, go about 2 miles and turn right on Crooked Creek Street. But there, in those part of the world, they point with their nose or their chin. I thought they're smelling of something for a long time. All kinds of people. I like to find these people and win them to Christ. And I'm not much of a, well, I think the word is surfing, but I was surfing not long ago. And I got to Myanmar. What is Burma used to be? Myanmar or something like that. And I met this guy, and he said something about being a teacher. And he was a few people that answered. And my wife and I said earlier, we're teachers in days gone by. And so I wrote in, I was a teacher. And the next day or so, I said, because I'm thinking to myself, I'll send him some teaching literature, but also I'm going to send him some gospel tracts. And so I wrote him, told him that I was an American and a Christian. He wrote me back and said he was a Christian. And I said, aye. And I said, well, wrote him back. I said, well, what kind of Christian are you? And he said, I'm a sword Christian. Well, you know how it is these days. How many kind of Christians are there? We don't know. But I said, what is a sword Christian? And he said, I'm not sure, but he said, somebody years ago in the town where we went to, we live up along the China border, and he said, I was in a town and somebody gave to me a sword of the Lord paper. And he said, when I read that sword of the Lord paper, I was that kind of Christian. I was a sword Christian. And that's all he knows. How'd that happen? Because God knew if he could get the message to him, he'd believe. Yeah. Yeah. All kinds of people. The first letter is the letter O. The second letter is the letter T. Now, in my short, simple sermon today, I'm going to say that the letter T stands for what? I'm going to say that it stands for there. T-H-E-R-E. Where are these others at? There's one. There's one. They live next door to us. Their children go to school with our children. We pay them when we buy at the gas pump or the food store. These others are there, and that there is in every place. And we must be busy and be ready to reach them and help them. And I'm not saying anything to you that you don't already know. I remind myself of these facts. All kinds of people, and they are everywhere. One day, my wife and I moved to a place called Ottawa. This is in the Bougainville Islands. In the Bougainville Islands, the people are this black. Some of the blackest skinned people in the world. European features, small nose and small lips. But they have very black skin. And often they have blonde hair. Like these pretty girls over here, blonde hair. And they're very backward type people. And one day, God arranged it so that we couldn't get a house anywhere else. And we had to move by this drunk. His name, Bosun Latu. Bosun is the word garden and Latu is the word jungle. And evidently, while his mother was digging in the garden, fixing that garden, the baby kicked or moved or whatever it is moms and babies do. And she felt that baby and she said, I think I'll name him Garden in the Jungle, Bosun Latu. He's a tall, ugly black man. And he became the best friend I ever had. He's still alive. And I visit him occasionally. And he was the key to our work in the Papasa region of New Guinea. I was preaching up there one time, and I was preaching about this is in Papasa in the Bougainville Islands. This is the island where the Japanese General Yamamoto, who was a Harvard graduate, was shot down. He engineered the bombing of Pearl Harbor and was himself, as I said, a Harvard graduate. While he was in New England, he went to a church up there, and they said to him, we don't allow Japs in our church. You'll have to leave. And he, who was our greatest enemy, perhaps could have been one to Christ. We'll know at the judgment, won't we? This man, Bosun, you and I and other Baptist churches, we won him to Christ. I was preaching up in his area, And I preached about the Bethlehem Star, and in that area, no women were allowed to come to the meetings, or children, but only men. And one of the men interrupted me. They have a low lifespan, and I think the lifespan, he said earlier, in South Africa is 45, and New Guinea it's about 51. And so they put their hand up, and one of them interrupted me. He said, "We know in our story, in our history, it's passed down to us that one day a chief saw a new star in the sky and said to us, 'The son of a great chief has been born.'" And because of them knowing that story that was passed down in their culture, they allowed me to preach in that area. There's a church up there today called Bethlehem. There's no TH sounds in that language. My name's Smith, no TH sounds. So my name's Smith, not Spit, but Smith. Smith, Spit, Smith, Spit. It's kind of easy to be humble when you're not much more than Spit, that's for sure. Any Elizabeths today? Or maybe you know some Elizabeths? Oh, a lot of them. Elizabeth, no EL sounds, no TH sounds, Sabit. Elizabeth is Sabit. And Miriam, Sabit, and Sabit, Liz, Sabit. Yeah. The girl, the lady's name, Sabit. There's a great church there. It's called Bethlehem Baptist Sio, S-I-O-S, is church. There must be 400 people who go to that church. Deborah and I are the only Baptist missionaries to ever live in the Bougainville Islands. And we've hardly scratched the surface. We're the only missionaries to have a visa into the Solomon Islands. So many Americans died there in World War II. Where have the Baptists been? Almost nobody. Look, the hair is white. And that tropic heat is killing me. We think it gets here in Georgia, hot in Georgia and South Carolina, that delta heat. Hey, we need some help. We need some help. Others, they're in every place. They're there and there and there. I used to go preach at a place called Cuvaria. It's a prison now. They don't have stone walls, but they have barbed wire, and every 100 yards or so, there's a little house made out of grass, and so they won't get rained on, and the guard stands there with a double-barrel 12. And whoever tries to escape over that barbed wire, they don't give them a second chance. And they'll empty both barrels. No one escapes. And they'll leave them there. And the stench is so hard, so horrible. It's all you can do to go and preach in those areas. And there's a lot of little hand roads, just a dirt road. And I used to have a Suzuki Jeep. Some people in Easley, South Carolina, bought my Jeep for me. And we used to go along that dirt road, little hand roads, or how do we say, footpaths that lead off into those jungle areas. And so I would get a banana leaf and lay it down, and on that banana leaf we'd lay gospel tracts. I'd put a picture of myself, some pencils, toothpaste, a Bible, and one of the, they have certain books in their language. And so I'd put them on that leaf, and I'd cover it up with another banana leaf and then put sand or stone on it so the wind or water wouldn't spoil it. And one day I was up there, and there's several men standing near that little footpath. And I stopped and I said, "I'd like to come to your village and preach to you." And they said, "Well, you can't come to our place. Your skin is not the color of our skin, and your language is not our language." And I said, "Well, yeah, I know I have a lot of problems. But my father and my wife's father fought here during the Great War. And they got excited. Those Americans who fought in the Pacific..." Because those people had never, they can't imagine how bad it was there. And they've heard their grandfathers tell about it. And they said, "Oh, okay, you come." And when I got there, none of them were alive then for sure. But they said, "Yeah, we see your father's face in you. We know you can come and speak to us." And I drew three crosses in the sand and told them about the Lord Jesus. And an elderly man said to me, "Why are you just now coming? How long have you known that story?" He said, "Have you told your dad yet?" And I told my dad, and my dad cried. He said, "Why didn't you come and tell us before my wife died?" He said, "We live in darkness. And there's churches. There's not any kind of church within 60 miles of them, and that would be a Roman Catholic church, a Roman Catholic mission. The Roman Catholics stopped them from eating each other, And that's about all they've done. He said, why didn't you come before my boys killed each other in the war? And you and I will have to meet those people at the great white throne judgment. What are we going to say? I kept my brick home in America. I drove my new car and didn't give anything. A friend said to me the other day, I want to help you. I want to help you in your ministry. I'm going to give you $20. I said, give me your Cadillac if you want to help me. Otherwise, keep your $20. Friends, I'm not trying to be, I want to be kind to you. But we have a responsibility. And I'm not saying you're not doing that. That's wonderful what the pastor says. But are we going to let the world go to hell? We have to go to judgment. Oh, all kinds of people. There's one of them. You know somebody probably right now. As you speak, you know somebody. Maybe the Lord will impress your heart that you could get to come to this church and they could hear and be saved. What are we going to do? The next letter is the letter H. O-T-H. Yes. I'm going to say that the people have to hear. Isn't that what the Bible says? How shall they hear? And so you and I become the mouthpiece of God. There's all kinds of ways that they hear. Did you know you can get these flat rate boxes at the post office? They're free. And you can put as many tracts or Bibles as you want to in it. And for $55, you can send this all the way around the world. So we have lots of ministries, my wife and I, and we collect names of pastors in third world countries. And we send them as much material as possible. Sometimes my weekly postage rate is $400. Where would I get that kind of money? From Baptist people. And you can, instead of Christmas, Christmas is coming up. Look at us. What do we need? Why not take your Christmas gift and send some literature or some Bibles to somebody that really could give it out in just no time? We send about 12,000 tracts into the Fijian Islands every 2 months. They're given out in 2 days. People stand on the street corner just as fast as they can give them out. Hindi tracts. These tracts are printed in the Hindi language used in the Fijian. These are printed in South Africa. This tract's just come off the press. We had 5,000 first runner-ups printed down in Brisbane, Australia. They gave them out in 1 day. 5,000 tracts written in the Fijian language. This is where the famous Namboro prison is. Where when people, these wicked, wicked men, not only murder and rape children, but they eat them as well. And in the Namboro prison, how is it that a gospel tract got inside of that prison in a language that they could understand? And one of those men read it and asked the Lord Jesus to be his Savior and wrote me a letter. I still have a letter in my house. And he said, I deserve to be here. I'll never be released. But he said, they allow me to go certain days of the month and visit people. He said, if you'll send me literature, I'll give it out. And so, every 2 months or so, we send him 20 pieces of literature, 20 gospel tracts. And he goes from, I don't know what kind of sales they won't let me go, they won't let foreigners go in. But they give them out in that prison. Why? Because he's one of these others. And God is interested in people. Oh, all kinds of people. They have to hear. My wife and I are members of Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Dr. Aiken's our pastor, but Dr. Sotler was our pastor. And my wife's dad was one of the deacons there, and he built the children's home. And so we got word that he was dying with cancer. This was in the early 80s. And we were living in the Bougainville Islands, which is next door to the Solomons. We used to travel back and forth by plane, small plane. And so I put my wife, her dad's sick and dying with cancer, and so I put my wife on the plane, and she flew down to Brisbane, then to Sydney, then to, it must be 17 hours across from Sydney to Los Angeles, and then here to Atlanta home. And so when I got back to my house, there was a man standing in the bushes. And I pulled into my small house, and I have been robbed. Everybody who's lived in New Guinea has been robbed and beaten. There are no exceptions. In 2007, they tried to steal my Jeep 11 times. 11 times. I got so many kill switches on it, sometimes I can't get it cranked. Hey. And I thought he was going to rob me. But he hollered out to me, "I'm trying to repent. Can you help me?" Well, I can help somebody repent. I can tell them what they have to do. They have to do the repenting. He's a fat guy. He's about this tall. He wears his pants always cut off right below the knee. No shoes. I bet his feet are this wide. You go down to the hardware store and buy some orange color paint and paint his feet, he looks like Daffy Duck. When you and I won him to Christ, he's a preacher. I had never heard him preach that somebody didn't come to the altar. Never. And if we could paint him white and teach him English and put a suit on him and find a pair of shoes that fit him and bring him here to America and let him preach here today, you'd think Oliver Green's come back from the dead. Oh, what a great preacher. During the war in the Bougainville Islands where they made us leave there and they burned what we had and we ran away and they shot at us on the way. And I say this not to brag, but some missionaries have a hard time. It's not just... Somebody said to me, "Do you have fun on the mission field? Do you have fun?" Well, it is fun. Yeah, I had fun. And so, we're at the airport, and I'm trying to go visit in the Bougainville Islands. And they tried to hijack the plane. You ever been on planes been hijacked? People fighting up in the cockpit. And so we landed, and I said, "Listen, you guys got my nerves tore up. You got to put me in a good hotel for a while. So I want the biggest and the best hotel in this state." They said, "Okay." It had 9 rooms, that hotel. 9 rooms. And I knew if I got the biggest, it'd have a fan so I could sleep a little bit. While I was staying that night, they murdered the guy in the room beside me. And so I'm down at the airport, and I'm trying to... In the airport, the whole airport's not as big as our choir. And I'm trying to say, "Can you get my ticket changed and let me go somewhere else?" And when I turned around, somebody called out, "Tala Tala," which is the word pastor or preacher. And so when I turned around, it was this man, this little short, fat, ugly guy. His name's Honey, H-O-N-I. Oh, he stayed in my house many of the time. His wife, Furuyu, F-U-R-U-Y-U. And they named their children after us. Everywhere you go, even if it's a girl, first name probably Smith. And, hey... I'm having fun, yeah. And so, I hadn't seen him in 15 years. I tried to advertise in the papers, and I recognized him. And he ran to me, I ran to him, I'm hugging him, he's hugging me, I'm crying, he's crying. And when we composed a little bit, I pushed him back, and his whole front pocket was full of money. Money is the word mak-mak, M-A-K, M-A-K. And I said, "What are you doing with all this money?" He said, "I got a job. He works at a gold mine. In those islands, they've discovered gold." And so he works 5 weeks, 7 days a week. I'm not for working on Sunday, but that's I don't have a thing to do with it. He works 5 weeks, and then he gets 3 weeks off. 5 weeks, 3 weeks. And I happened to find him in the providence of God, so I can tell you this story. So on that start of that 3 weeks off, and he said to me, "I've started 5 Baptist churches, and I look after them. That's where I'm going now." You and I won these people to Christ. That's what happens to that, what was it, 80,000 or whatever it was. People are saved. God is using you and I to reach out to people. They have to hear, though. They must hear. My wife uses what she calls a charm class, C-H-A-R-M. And she'll take girls from puberty till they're a little bit married. In New Guinea, one of the saddest things we have is the husband or the father sells the daughter to be married. They do through a bride exchange. And they sell the daughters away. And so she takes these girls. And she'll, in order to be in her charm class, they have to learn the Romans Road. And she teaches them how to go to the market and buy clothes. There's no shopping centers there. You can't go to a store and buy a new dress. There's no, they don't have that there. So you go and buy used clothes from Australia or America. And you just go down to the clothes pile. And you pick up something, and you find something that might fit, and you buy it. And she teaches them how to dress properly and sit properly and how to be women and take care of themselves. She wins almost every one of those girls to Christ. And we can't judge their future, but we'll get to see them again. And perhaps God will use the millennium to mature more of us into that person He's having us become. Oh, there's lots of ways to reach out to these others. Well, I'm hurrying here. It's already 5 after. I've been at it, how long? What, 25 minutes or 30 minutes already? 2 more and I'll be finished, I promise. Others. You know, when I think about these others, I'm a bit sad that I didn't do more. Are not you sad as well? You and I, who live in America, we have, I mean, think of all the things we have. My friends overseas think I am extremely wealthy because I have a post office box with my name on it. And that sometimes even the mailman will bring a letter to the very house where I live. They say, whoa, your father's an important person in your country. The mailman will bring a letter to your house. I said, no, it's for everybody. They said, no, we can't believe you. You're tricking us. We have a mailbox. And my mailbox is all, we have mailboxes in lots of countries. But we have mail, and it's always full. And half the time I have to take 3 or 4 people that I know with me and say, here, where does this go? I don't know these people. And so they use our mailbox so that they can get mail. Oh, you and I live in the greatest nation in the world. And we are privileged to tell the gospel. You know, most every missionary I meet is an American. I'm sure there are other kinds. And the majority of, well, the great majority of all the missionaries I've ever met are Baptist people. And you and I are privileged to share the gospel with these good people. I'm glad I'm doing it, aren't you? Member of a good church like this? Wow, it's wonderful, wonderful. The next letter. Who's still with me? The letter E. E. What could we say about E? We could say eternal. Yeah. Eternal rewards or punishments. We could say everyone must be reached. You and I believe that it's the perfect will of God that every living person should understand the gospel to the point where they can say yes or no. Yeah, we believe that. Yeah, we're Baptists. We believe that. God just didn't pick out this one and this one to be saved and turn His back on the other ones. That's foolishness. God wants everybody to understand. And some of us are hard-headed to the point where it takes us years and years to come to that place of repentance. E stands for everyone. Everyone involved. Everyone should be involved. I counted these little kids who sit with me on the front row this morning. I think I counted 10. So you help me out here. If each child, there are 10 children, if each child gives a dollar while they're going to school, 9 months a year. So, 10 children times $1 is how much money? $10. Ooh, this is a real math church you got here, Pastor. All right. Now, $10 times 20 days is how much? It's a dollar and 10 and a dollar and 20. So take those $2 zeros and put them in your pocket. 1 times 2 is what? I put the 2 zeros up there. All right. Now, what's that times 9 months? $1,800. $1,800 sitting right there on the front row. And we could use that money. That's $150 a month as a missionary for a year. Those little kids. And you and I, we need to invest our life in the work of the Savior. Oh, everyone must be involved. How is it that Noah, how many children did Noah have? I don't know. It just tells about those 3 boys. I don't know about you. They must have been married 400 years. I expect they had more children than that. Why did just those 3 get saved? Maybe there's others, I don't know. But we know those 3 came into the ark. Why? Because He kept them busy in the work. I go to so many churches. I was telling the pastor, I was in church not long ago where I was the youngest Christian there. What's happened to our children? We have not involved them in the work. In order to save, hey, you have to be a zealot or you want to lose. We have to be. They'll conquer us or we'll conquer them. That's just the way life is. Busy. Everyone must be busy. All kinds of literature. Wherever I go, if they got a newspaper, I get the newspaper and I'll write a letter. And I say, listen, I want to put an ad in your newspaper. And who pays for it? Baptist churches. So I got a letter one time from Hong Kong. And in that letter, as I read it, I almost wanted to just drop it and put on gloves. And it's a story about a man who said he was a homosexual and confessed some of his sins. And I felt dirty as I read that paper. And he wrote me a letter and said, "Do you think your God would save me?" Sure he would. And he'll wipe him and clean him just as clean as any angel. Sure. Because all of us are dirty. And so we won that man to Christ. I got a letter just recently on an email from some magazine that reaches into every Indian. Where do Indians live? Reservation. Reaches every Indian reservation in the United States and Canada. And they wrote me and said, "Would you like to put an ad in our magazine?" I don't know these people. Somebody from New York. You know what I'm going to do? We'll put an ad in the paper. Sure. Somebody's phone going. If it's Obama, tell him I'll ring him later. I was preaching at a funeral one time and the phone went off. And a lady over here. And she answered, "Hello, yeah, I'm in a funeral." "Yeah, he went and killed himself. Preacher's preaching right now." I said, "Shh, turn that thing off, please, yeah. If you're a missionary, nothing disturbs you. I mean, we've had dog fights, building fall down, cars run through the building, race around. People shoot at you. Hey, I'm having fun." Yeah, a girl asked me if I was having fun. The last letter, then we'll be finished, Pastor, okay? And the letter R. And I'm saying these stories to encourage you to do. Ask God to help you. "Hey, Lord, I'd like to have a part in that. I'd like to have a story when I get up to heaven that somebody can tell me that because that person got saved, I gave some money, and I'd like to hear that story from the mouth of that person because I gave him the faith promised out on the earth." Yeah. The last letter is the letter what? R. Well, I'm telling you, there's a good English class here. I'm going to say that the letter R stands for what? Reap? Could be, yeah. I'm going to say that it stands for repent. You and I live in a world, and you know it well, where the pastors, and I'm not talking about our pastor, but they no longer preach repentance. Believe on the Lord Jesus. And that's all you have to do. That's all I did. But there must be a repentance. Remember when we were young people and that old skinny preacher used to have that long bony thing and it'd stick way out back there where you were sitting. And he'd say, "Turn or burn, repent or perish." We've gotten away from that. But the people must repent. They have to understand there must be repentance. I was coming out of a jail one time, and this is in Barocco. Where is this at? In the Papua New Guinea. And this man hollered out to me, "Hey, Tala Tala, give me just a Azua," in the Motu language. And he said to me, "Don't you remember me?" Well, you know how many people, I can't hardly remember my own name. I got all this hair. I can't hardly remember who I am half the time. And I said, "Well, you know what? Your face is familiar." And I didn't like because everybody's face is familiar. You got a nose and two eyes. And so I said, "Well, yeah, yeah." And he said, "You saved me." Well, you know I can't save anybody. But who drives the nail, the hammer or the carpenter? And you and I do save people. The Lord Jesus uses us to save people. And so he said to me, "Don't you remember me? You saved me. You came to my village and you preached and I asked Jesus to be my Savior." And I said, "Yeah, I know." And many is the time, oh pastor, many is the time my wife and I, we have nobody to help us. And we have been to places where we'd spend all night. We'd go meet in the bush or some bush area, bring a generator and have a light or something, and 200-300 people, adults, come to Christ. First time. There's no other kind of church there. Andrews told me the other day, we preached right before we left over in a place called, I don't know the name of the church, but it's a Baptist church. Our brother Samuel is a pastor. And that Sunday morning, we'd preached the revival that week, and that Sunday morning, 79 husband and wife and children made professions of faith and asked for Christian baptism. 79 complete families. We win the husband. Wife's already saved. We win the wife. Husband already saved. We win the children. But here's 79 complete families profess faith in Christ and ask for baptism in that Baptist church. Oh, the gospel is still precious in many places. They have to repent. I was preaching once, and I'm finished. I was preaching once in a place, and in the, it's a marketplace. They have no what do you call it, top, just on the dirt, and you buy whatever you want to buy there. And at one end of it was some large stones, and I and some preacher boys had gone to this place, and we were preaching. And right as we came, three Muslim priests came, and they said, "We're going to preach." And I said, "Well," and the men with me said, "Let's stone them and chase them away." I was for that, but you know, the gospel's for everybody, and the Lord has to get after me too. And so I said, "I tell you, no, we'll both preach." And they said, "Well, we'll go first." And I said, "Okay, you guys go first, and then we'll preach, and then you follow us." And I said, "Okay." And they said, "It's about time you learned your place, you Christians." And so they preached, and they jumped around, and you know, when it's my turn, I said to them, I said, "Both of us preach from a holy book. At least they say theirs is holy. We know ours is. But there's one important difference in these books. Their book has no helper." I said, "You boys, you mean your book has no helper. But this book has an invisible person. We cannot see him. But when we read the words of this book, or we have them read to us, there's somebody down inside that says, the words of that book are true. The words of that book are true. His book, their book, has no helper." And the people there have a way of putting the lip to one side and clicking it together to shame people. You and I say, "Shame on you." But there they clicked their lips together. And every time those young men stood up to preach, the people clicked their lip together. Said, "Hey, no helper. Get your, no helper. No helper. No helper." I guess 2 months went by, and I got a letter from one of those young men. Said, "I'd like to come to your Bible school." At a Bible school down in Barocco. One down at Kandavi and several. And he said, "I'd like to come to your Bible school, and I want to learn about that book and that helper that goes with it." Oh, you and I have a great responsibility. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today. Thank you, Pastor. God bless you, sir.